Have you ever wondered where your food comes from? Really thought about the journey from field to fork? For millions of people living in southern African cities, putting food on the table is part of a complex web of sellers, distributors, and vendors. In southern Africa, big agribusiness and international supermarkets operate alongside informal and street-side traders. Understanding how cities are fed, where this food comes from, how it gets to the consumer, and who is buying where is vital to the planning for the increasing food demands of cities. Produced for the African Food Security Urban Network by CMFD Productions, correspondents across the region asked in this, the third edition of Feeding Hungry Cities, Southern Africa speaks on food security. We set out to find out where urban consumers get their food.
It depends on where there's specials. There's Pick and Pay, there's Checkers, and there's fruit and veg stores. So I go and see, you know, what can I find at a cheaper price.
When we don't have food, we ask from our neighbors for maize meal or anything, just so we can eat.
Actually, this stuff I'm buying from the CDDP, where they're selling all the kind of the veggies.
Southern Africa's food comes in all kinds of packages and along many different paths. From overflowing supermarket shelves, offering up to 5 kinds of tomato sauce and 6 kinds of butter, to the informal trader hawking fruits door-to-door. When the Africa Food Security Urban Network conducted research in the region, they found some surprising trends in just where Southern African urban population gets their food. According to Professor Jonathan Crush, who lives Afsan, the findings challenged some of the researchers' own assumptions.
We had no real sense of where poor people were actually, or poor households were accessing their food. We had made the assumption that supermarkets were probably relevant to poor households, and that comes out of a kind of general understanding that you see globally, that supermarkets tend to target middle-income and higher-income neighborhoods. Well, what we found across these 11 cities is very high usage of supermarkets by the majority of poor households. That was true from city to city. But usage of a particular kind, not usage to diversify the diet, to get a more balanced set of nutrients or whatever. It was simply to buy staples at a cheaper price than they could be bought anywhere else.
Poor households tend to supermarkets for cost savings on some staple products, but they still rely on informal markets for more regular purchasing. For some, the proximity of close-by shopping is a deciding factor, showing that the geography of the city also plays its part in daily food consumptions. It's 5 p.m., and Nozi Kumalo has just hopped off the taxi she uses on her daily commute to her job in the city. As it happens, the taxi passes her neighborhood Pick and Pay supermarket. Like many, Nozi doesn't purchase all of her food at the supermarkets, but uses mixed shopping sources to stretch her budget. Correspondent Ramatamo Sohai caught up with her.
Why have you chosen to come at Pick and Pay with regard to other shops?
It's because it's very open. But although the prices are too high, but I just like it, and it is easy and it's closer to the transport.
Okay, so tell me, what's your view on people who are selling on the street that are selling vegetables compared to ones that are selling at supermarkets?
I respect them because at least they are doing something for their own, and I don't think those people, they ever get hungry. I never buy vegetables at Pick n Pay. They are too expensive for me.
Perhaps unsurprisingly, the greatest proportion of households frequenting supermarkets are in the large cities of South Africa. Over 90% of households in Johannesburg, Cape Town and Msunduzi frequent supermarkets. In cities like Harare and Maputo, only around a quarter of this population frequent supermarkets. Lusaka has the lowest supermarket penetration in the region, with only 14% of households frequenting supermarkets. The general conclusion from Zambia seems to be that the informal sector remains extremely vibrant in Zambian cities. Correspondent Mwenya Mkuka meets up with a local family man in Kazima, an open market in the township of Mudendere, on the outskirts of Zambia's capital, Lusaka.
Do you shop in supermarkets?
No, I don't. Supermarket is out of bounds for me and my family. There's nothing special in supermarkets. Why? The food stuff that they sell there, to me, is stale food.
Did the price be one of the other reasons as well?
The price is so expensive in supermarkets. It's for people, they call the upper members, those who drive. But if you find these other simple people walk there, it's because of prestige. They want to feel as if they are part and parcel of those people can afford.
Across the region, they are known by many names: Paza shops, Snoopy's cash stores, kioskish, or tuck shops. These corner shops are found in most urban areas and communities. Set up in homes and garages, they usually offer basic products such as 1 kilogram mealie meal, bread, cooking oil, milk, and other daily necessities. Many also offer a convenient public phone where the community can make calls for a few coins. These shops serve the local community, making it easier for people to walk nearby for their essentials. So while supermarkets are growing in market share, depending in the neighborhood, it is often these local outlets that are closer to home. Rose Nkosi is the president of the South African Spaza and Tuck Shop Association, a network of over 7,000 members. Nkosi has operated a spaza for over a decade.
Customers are the very community that are surrounding me as a community person, because the customers are community-based people, because even the spaza, it's a community-based shop that is situated at a house. A person cannot take 10 rand and go to the mall. A person cannot take 20 rand and go to the mall. He will spend that amount of money, because it's a little amount, just next door, her house.
Just outside of Johannesburg's city center lies the vibrant, colorful, and often chaotic neighborhood of Yeovil. Ronald Gumira is a refugee from Rwanda and a graduate of economics. He has been unable to find work in his field and now runs a spaza shop. Yeovil is home to migrants from across the continent, and many of Gumira's customers are refugees like himself.
Why have you decided to sell food?
This is a very populated area, and so many people around are middle-income earners. And the difference between my business and the ShopRite's and the Pick and Pays is I work long hours just to tap on the little money that people want to spend after hours. I believe every end of the day you buy sugar, or you buy bread, or you buy meat, or you buy milk. I guess that is the reason why I opened it up, because I tapped on through the demand of the people, the necessities that they need on an everyday basis.
Alongside major roads and the smallest community streets, informal traders ply their trade, offering everything from fresh vegetables and fruits ready to eat. Quick meals for people on the go, requiring little capital, and with low overheads and a consumer proximity. Informal food trade is an important part of Southern Africa's food network. In South Africa especially, informal food trade is a significant factor in food security for the country's large migrant population, who are often unable to pursue more formalized economic activities. Malawian-born trader Andrew Moyo operates amid other traders on a busy GP street in Marshalltown, Johannesburg. Simpiwe Kwicha spoke to him about the business of selling vegetables and making profits.
What are you selling basically here?
Here I'm selling these veggies. As you can see here, I'm having some tomatoes, potatoes, green peppers, those stuff, you see, and the fruits also aside.
Okay, so how do you keep your stuff fresh always for that people can buy?
A fridge, there, a big fridge where I'm putting those stuff, so that all the time they must look similar, they mustn't change. When you go to this side of potatoes, I'm having also some other boxes, big boxes where I'm packing them so that the sun mustn't reflect them.
So what is the one thing that you're selling the most in the store?
It's some potatoes, tomatoes, onions, carrots. This stuff they are going, because I cannot talk about the fruits. Fruits, it's obviously.
So what are some of the problems that you come across as the informal trader?
Yeah, especially like when we go to this side of the credits, that stuff, it brings the big business behind it.
So do you make profit out of the vegetables?
Depends with you, how are you operating it, then you can get some profit. You know, a loaf of bread is better than nothing, you see. I'm getting it. For that issue, when you come to that side, it's like maybe is disturbing me a lot, because sometimes you see maybe I'm just arriving from the market, I'm packing the stuff here, they're just coming and take all the stuff, the namastees. Started from the behind.
Moyo's frustration at the confiscation of his goods is shared by Sipho Twala, an informal trader and secretary general for Qeda Indlala Hawkers Association in Soweto, South Africa. According to Twala, while the importance of informal trade is given lip service, the necessary policies to help this sector develop are long overdue.
The informal sector has been sidelined by the government from long time ago, and it's increasing every day. Even people, when they lose job, they come into our sector. Even the student, when they fail to go to the university or to get job, they come into our sector. Now, that is the challenge that is facing by our sector, because it's never been demarcated, regulated, and allocated. There is a problem of fighting of space for trading at presently. That is why some issues like xenophobia comes around in all those affected situations that has been experienced by informal traders. Other thing, based on the policy, we don't participate from the moment the policy has been planned, from the decision making to contribute in the areas that we can see we are going to be affected by this policy. We are not being invited. We become just rubber stamp in all the policies that have been formed for the informal economy. That is the biggest problem that we see. The government has been undermining us because we contribute a lot in the GDP of the country as the sector.
Basically, running a fast food, especially in this community, you're not doing this for your own, but for the whole community, for the families around here. You're working for them. I mean, working with food, like it provides everybody who's here. Everybody can afford food. That's, we have food from 5 rand, 6 rand. The cheapest is rand, and it goes up to 21 rand. We have everything in there.
Self-styled entrepreneur Mpotlapi barely has a moment to catch his breath as he coordinates getting food to his hungry customers, most of whom are in a hurry. Ekaya Fast Food has been offering fast, affordable meals to the local community in Soweto for the last 10 years. Like Enrumoyo and Sipotwala, Tlapi is frustrated that more is not being done to help support businesses like his, which also creates jobs.
As a businessman, what are some of the challenges that you have come across?
Things are getting expensive. Basic food like oil, potatoes are getting more and more expensive.
In terms of the challenges that you're coming across financially, what are some of the costs involved in your business?
With my staff, everything is okay. I think they are happy. At least they can provide their families with whatever little they get from here. We are not really challenged when it comes to stuff. But yes, other things, yes.
In a region that has some of the poorest countries in the world, social protection measures play a role in alleviating hardships facing the most food insecure. In some cases, this is financial assistance from governments. However, according to Namibian-based AFSAN researcher and retired professor of anthropology, Wade Pendleton, social capital, or the ability to occasionally rely on family and friends, is an important food source for many.
But one of our findings was that for the informal households that are food insecure, they will rely a lot more on other forms of the informal economy. They may borrow food from neighbors. They may buy on credit. They may use their social network in order to try and obtain food, especially towards the end of the month.
For many families, the end of the year is one of the hardest periods for food security. With extra holiday and travel expenses, as well as new school year fees looming, there simply isn't enough cash on hand. Olga Ngosheng and Tsebe Toka are part of a creative approach to the year-end crunch. Ramatau Sohai visit with the two sisters as they unpack boxes overflowing with basic goods purchased as part of a family stokvel. Each of the 9 stokvel members contributes 200 rands a month and are eligible for short-term loans, which attract a 30% interest. With almost 23,000 rands at the end of the year, they collectively bought groceries for all their households.
Why have you decided to share the grocer instead of sharing money like other societies do?
With the money, we're going to buy some other things. That's what we have seen in our group, that with money, we're going to buy like clothes. With grocery, we know like it's gonna like cover our family, so that's why you bought grocery.
Why food are so important to you?
Some of the other people, they don't have food. They sleep without food. That's why we organize this society, so that we can make money, so that we can buy food. Each and everybody have food in his home or her home.
Having enough food to eat in the cities depends primarily on the individual or household's ability to purchase or acquire foodstuffs. Clear that alongside agribusiness supply chains and supermarket mass supply, the need for inexpensive local foods have galvanized creativity and entrepreneurship to respond to consumer demands. Keeping cities fed will mean understanding these diverse supply mechanisms and cultivating the best aspects of all.
It's getting late, enough I can take. Enough is enough, I need food on my plate. I don't